Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the greatest 4 to 8 minute podcast in the entire universe, that being Front Stretch's Stock Car Scoop. I am your host, Brian Timothy Dale, known alongside my man, Adam Chicas. Every Monday and every Friday, we preview and recap the latest in the NASCAR Cup Series. Adam, this weekend, we moved the dates up from September to May for Throwback Weekend, but it was still absolutely beautiful as throwback schemes feature on mostly every single car in the Trucks, Xfinity, and the Cup Series. But when it was all said and done in the Cup world, one word to describe this race: domination. That was what Martin Truex Jr. did to the field on Sunday as he cruised to his third victory of the season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was great to see all the throwbacks from all three series. It was great to see throwbacks win every single race. Especially on Saturday. My personal two favorites of the entire weekend were Allgaier's Dale Sr. car and Josh Berry's Dale Jr. car, and they went 1-2 in the Xfinity race, so that was pretty cool. But Sunday, Martin Truex Jr. just smacked the field, and no two ways about it. He led almost 250 laps. That number 19 was nearly untouchable, and he had a scare near the end a little bit. But he pulled away and went on to win. That's his third win of the season. And he's looking like one of the favorites to go to the Final Four at Phoenix.
Adam, like we were saying, Martin Truex Jr. dominated this race. I mean, he absolutely obliterated the competition, leading 248 of the 293 laps. However, the ending was a little bit too close for comfort, as Kyle Larson came very, very quickly, but it was just not enough. Adam, was there really anything that Young Money could do to get the win and steal one from Truex?
I really don't think so. I think Larson had the speed. He had the car and he had the run and also had the advantage of cutting through lap traffic in some ways in the same fashion Truex already had. Truex would create an opening. Larson could go right through. Larson made that wild three wide pass in the late stages. But Darlington's such a taxing track on the cars and the tires and all this stuff that I think his car was just kind of slipping away from him by the time the checkered flag flew. Larson, I think, just used up everything he had and Truex just held on. I think it would have been a good race if Larson's car had endured a little bit longer, but I think the best car of the day won for sure.
Adam, Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick, well, they were going punch for punch last year in their quest for the Cup Series title. In 2021, neither driver has a victory through 12 races. Adam, is there cause for concern for either driver, even though Hamlin maintains a point lead?
You say even though, but I say that's the reason there is not a cause for concern in terms of Hamlin, because although I do think we're headed for 16 winners this year, Hamlin's been there and he's been there and he's been there. One of these races is going to have the number 11 in victory lane. I think it's just a matter of when. He has the performance. He just hasn't been at the right place at the right time. Harvick is the one I'm concerned about because he's been performing the best of his Stewart Haas Racing teammates, but that's also not saying a lot. All the drivers in that stable have had their struggles this year. Harvick is the only one of the team's drivers in the top 20 in points. And while I can see him winning at some point, I would assume he would win at some point, he's who I'm worried about between himself and Hamlin. I still think both will win this year, but in terms of looking at the rest of the team compared to the driver or along with the driver, Gibbs has the speed. Haas really hasn't this year.
Adam, final thing here before I let you go, my man. Sunday's race at Darlington, it was the first to use the 750 horsepower handling package. Now, did the switch lead to better racing, or is only 9 cars on the lead lap, 3 within 10 seconds of the winner, a sign that NASCAR, maybe they should have left well enough alone?
I think I'm torn on this one because the racing was definitely more organic and less manufactured feeling. And while only 9 cars ended up on the lead lap and they were incredibly strung out at that as downsides, there were nearly 3,000 passes under green flag conditions, which is more than any of the past 14 Cup races there. That stat I did not find on my own. Credit to Twitter for that. But that stat dates back to 2008 in the Car of Tomorrow era. So the racing has definitely improved. And while there weren't a whole lot of challengers that could stack up to Truex, there was certainly competition throughout the field, passes back and forth, battles throughout the entire running order. So it's just more organic racing that's a lot of fun to watch, and especially at a place as tough and legendary as Lady in Black.
Adam, that is all I got for you, my friend. Let's chat next week to preview what we call the monster featuring Miles, that being Dover, Delaware.
Oh yeah, for sure. Looking forward to Dover, and I will be keeping an eye out over my shoulder this week because you never know when a rogue Miles could pop up and end your day at the Monster Mile.
I love it. Adam Cheek, associate editor, lead reporter for frontstretch.com. You can find Adam on Twitter at AdamNCheek. find yours truly at the Brian Nolan for all the latest at FrontTretch and FrontTretch.com. For Adam Cheek, I am Brian Nolan. For everybody at FrontTretch, stay healthy, stay safe, continue to wear a mask, and when you get a chance, please get vaccinated.